Recorded Books presents The Dark is Always Waiting by T.J. Brereton. Narrated by Hannah Cabell. Prologue. That feeling, being utterly helpless, dwarfed by the massiveness of the universe and its mystery. Corrine Baines stood beneath a dark, churning sky. The clouds spiraled toward a bright center. Lightning pulsed with white veins. She felt herself pulled upwards, drawn by her chest, lifting her toward the dark, sucking hole. A bright flash of light preceded a crack of thunder, and in the next instant she awoke, heart thumping. She took a moment to ground herself. "Calm down. You're okay." She consciously slowed her breathing, counting to four for each inhalation and exhalation. She sensed the heat of her sleeping husband beside her in bed. Okay. This was home, their big house in Scarsdale, and the earth was not cracking to pieces. It's 2:48 in the morning. She listened for the children and sensed only the placid hush of sleep, the faintest ticking of brittle snow falling against the window pane, the growl of a downshifting truck on the nearby freeway. What a thing, a dream like that. So many dreams were just surreal versions of banal things. Being a waitress with never enough time for all her tables, one of her children lost in a giant store as she struggled to find them. This dream was different. Even now, closing her eyes, she could see it like an after effect. A great gyre of clouds spun like sooty cotton, tunneling up into the sky, twisting faster as they went. It frightened her. What was more, she'd seen it before. A long time ago, going all the way back to when she'd first met Alex, during a Vipassana meditation retreat. Her first, his fourth or fifth. During a session that went particularly deep for her, that same swirling sky had materialized, a powerfully affecting vision. But maybe that was a good sign, a reminder of some past experience was not a threat. She rolled over on her side and looked at her husband's back, just the rough shape of him in the semi-darkness. Back then, she'd confided in the Buddhist nun at the ashram and told her about the vision. The nun said strange thoughts could arise during deep meditation or jhana. A person could penetrate to the substrate consciousness, the source of the subjective experience. When she'd discussed it with Alex, it was 3 days later, after he'd asked her out for coffee, then dinner, then drinks, and finally to visit his room at the Marigold Guesthouse. Maybe it had been all the meditation clearing the mind. The sex had been, frankly, transcendent for a first encounter. Afterward, Alex had disagreed with the nun's take on things. "I don't think it has to be that spooky. People in solitary confinement see things, hallucinations. Your body can take sensations, deep sensations during meditation, and make a picture out of them. It's not supernatural, it's natural." "Deep meditation is like solitary confinement?" He'd laughed. "I mean the absence of stimuli. Anyway, you should paint it. It sounds beautiful." Just like that, she'd been captured by him. His confidence, humor, the kindness in his eyes. He could have been arrogant with all his education and experience, but Alex was down to earth. There was proven science behind the effects and advantages of meditation. Things you could observe. Data you could repeat. Ways you could breathe, just breathe, and improve your life. Wherever there was experimental evidence, Alex was hooked. There was no experimental evidence that a dream, recreating a long-ago meditative experience, was anything more than a neurological burp, a little nighttime indigestion of the brain. But it felt like more. And the longer she lay motionless in the dark bedroom, the more she realized it wasn't going to go away. When she shut her eyes, the stormy sky was still there. Its smoky clouds churned toward the vacuum suck of the bright spot eye, everything trailing upward into that celestial funnel.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?